If you look inside your bulletin, you'll find an outline of today's message. And I'm going to ask all who can to stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, we read, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that each one of us would know, would discover, and would fulfill our service, our ministry, our good works unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, speak to our hearts today. I pray, God, that you would challenge each one of us, that we might hear and heed the call to bless. We make our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're in a series right now that's called What on Earth Am I Here For? The Sunday message goes along with your daily devotions you're doing. It goes along with the in-home Bible studies that we're doing for this 6 weeks. And so when I came to Mother's Day, I thought, well, I probably need to skip a week and I need to focus on Mother's Day. But then I thought, well, then I'll get all of our group time, all of our devotions, to get all of that stuff behind. And then I got to thinking about it, and I thought, well, you know, what better example of service than a Christian mother? In our prayer room before we came out, Shirley Pearson had made the comment that her mother was in heaven, and she missed her mom. My mom has been in heaven 40 years, and I want you to know I miss her. I miss her every day, but I miss her more on Mother's Day than any other time. But I could say to the group in there, I could say, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for my mother. I wouldn't be here physically, I wouldn't be here spiritually if it weren't for my mother. Now, there is a mother that's been in the news lately, and I want to just touch on this before I jump into my message this morning. And I have a picture of her here. You may recognize her. One more time. There it is. Her name is Toya Graham. And she became famous because during the Baltimore riots, she looked out there and she recognized her 16-year-old son had picked up a brick to throw it at police. And then if you've seen the 1.5-minute video, she came out there and snatched him up by the hoodie and slapped him about 6 times. Said some not so nice words. But anyhow, she went out there and got him off of the streets. And for that, I commend her. I commend her. Many other parents should have done the same thing. But some of the things that have happened after that, I disagree with. For example, many people have suggested that she receive the Mom of the Year award. Folks, can I tell you, if she were the Mom of the Year, her kid wouldn't have been out there throwing rocks at the police to start with. If she was the Mom of the Year, she wouldn't have 6 children from 5 different daddies if she was the Mom of the Year. Let me tell you who the Mom of the Year is, and that is the mother that's sitting in the house of God today that loves God, loves their children, and instills moral values in them so that they're not thugs out on the street burning and rioting and looting. That is the Moms of the Year. But I know more about love from my mother than I do any other source. I know more about serving others from my mother than any other source. So today when I talk about your call to bless, we're talking about service, we're talking about ministry, and want to do all of this today in honor of our Lord and in thankfulness for our mothers. In review, for those of you that are just, this is your first Sunday, maybe you're here with your family, we've been looking at what on earth am I here for? There are five callings on every person's life. Every person has five purposes. The first one we saw is a calling to be loved. That is, God made you to love you, and when you love God back, that is called worship. God made you to worship. And then second, we saw a calling to belong. And that is, you just don't belong to God, you belong to God's family. And this here, of course, is the purpose of fellowship. We're to fellowship with other believers. And then last week you saw the call to become. And this is discipleship. We're called to become like Jesus Christ. And today we're going to be looking at a call to bless. And that is to do ministry, to serve. God calls us to serve Him. And so with that in mind, I want you to notice here that God shaped you to serve Him. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, your attitude must be like my own. For I, the Messiah, did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus said the whole reason He came was to serve others. He did not come for people to serve Him. You and I have been shaped to serve God. Now this word here, served, in the Greek New Testament is the same word that is also translated minister or ministry. So anytime we're talking about serving God, it is ministry. Anybody who serves God is a minister. Not only that, but what is ministry? Ministry is using my gifts, my talents, using my skills, my opportunities to serve God and to serve other people. Ministry is just simple. Ministry is meeting a need in the name of Jesus. I believe, Steve, it was in 2005. Steve had asked me to go with him to Sri Lanka to do disaster recovery, disaster relief from the Indian Ocean tsunami. And I agreed to go with him. I have to tell you, I was very nervous because we was going to have to get on an airplane. I'd never been on an airplane. And it was a 21-hour flight, okay? But anyhow, he said, let's go. And I said, all right, I will go. Well, before we could get the trip put together, there was another natural disaster closer to home called Hurricane Katrina. And instead of going to Sri Lanka, we went 10 times to Gulfport and New Orleans as a church. And I remember the thing that helped us decide, and here's what Steve came back and he said. He said, we can go over there and help rebuild homes in Sri Lanka, but they will not let us witness. They will not let us share the gospel. If we go down to Hurricane Katrina, we can do everything that we're going to do in the name of Jesus. Folks, the difference between rebuilding a house for somebody and rebuilding a house in the name of Jesus is ministry. One is ministry, one is not. One is humanitarian aid, the other one is ministry. Ministry is just meeting a need in the name of Jesus. All of us are called to ministry. And then the second truth I want you to see is your life calling is to be a bivocational minister. Now, I'm going to explain that in a moment. Most people think of a bivocational minister as a pastor who serves a small church that cannot afford to hire him full time, so he works a regular job and he works in the church. That's not what I'm talking about. But notice here what it says in Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through Him. Now this morning, I wear bifocals. You know what bifocals are? Bifocals are a set of glasses that have two different lenses in it so that you can see the same thing two different ways. In other words, these bifocals, they help me to see up close. The bottom part means I can read my Bible. The top part means I can see you. Okay, but it helps me to see the same thing two different ways. And we're talking about being a bivocational minister. We're talking about doing the same thing two different ways. By that, what we mean is I'm going to serve God, I'm going to serve others, and I'm going to honor God at the same time. Every time I do ministry, what do I want to do? Serve others and honor God. Honor God and serve others. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So what does it mean to be a bivocational minister? It means everything that I do in life, I want to serve others, but I want to honor God in how I serve others. Galatians 1:15 says, but God in His grace chose me, even before I was born, and called me to serve Him. You understand that before you were ever born, God had a calling on your life, and that is to serve Him. Did you know when you get to heaven, you know, one of the things you're going to do in heaven is you're going to serve God. And so you need to be practicing that down here. I don't know how people think they're going to spend all eternity in heaven worshiping and serving God, and they never worship and they never serve God down here. Why would you want to do it forever and ever if you don't want to do it every once in a while down here? God has a calling on your life to serve Him. And when you do that, even mundane tasks like sweeping a floor has meaning. Why? Because I'm doing it to serve others and I'm doing it to honor God. And by the way, even if you do a mundane task, God says He'll reward it. Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water in My name, you will not lose your reward. Well, what will happen if I serve others? If I bless others, what will happen? I want to give you a couple of benefits today if you will do that. Number one, it will create joy in your life. In John 15:11, Jesus said, I've told you this so that My joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Would you agree with me that the majority of people today would like to be happy? I think most people are pursuing happiness. They may not be happy, but they're pursuing happiness. But they're looking for happiness in all the wrong places. They think that possessions will make them happy. Popularity will make them happy. Pleasure will make them happy. And can I say this? Those things will make you happy for a little bit, but they will not bring you permanent joy. Now, there are two secrets to joy. The first one is, get the focus off of yourself. In Philippians 2:17, my life is being poured out as a part of the sacrifice and service that I offer to God for your faith. Yet I am filled with joy, and I share that joy with all of you. Here's the Apostle Paul, and he is in prison. And he's writing to the church at Philippi, and he says, my service brings me joy. Think about it. I don't know about you, but you reckon you could be happy in prison? I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in prison, period. But here he is. He has been beat. He's been whipped. He's shackled to the wall. And in the middle of the night, he is singing and praising God because he has a joy that is brought about by serving God, by serving others. And when you serve others in the name of Jesus, it brings enormous joy to your life. Are you unhappy? Well, here's the antidote. Roll up your sleeves and serve somebody in the name of Jesus. Notice here, the most helpful people are the most happy people. I mentioned to you a while ago, and we recognized Cindy Jenkins for her service. Now, here's what I want you to do. Now, she'll probably be conscious and aware of this for a couple weeks, but she's human, so she'll forget in a couple weeks. But I want you to watch her when she sings. And when you watch her, you just see the joy that just comes up and just oozes out. And I believe that she's this joyous person because she serves God and she serves others. You see, if you really want to have joy in your life, what do? You serve others. But what does the world say? You see, the world says, look out for you. Look out for number one. Take care of your needs. Look after what you want. Let me ask you something. Have you ever seen a selfish person that was happy? The only time they're happy is when you're doing what they want you to do. And here's a reason for it. Notice here, God wired the universe so that the more unselfish you are, the more joy you experience. The more selfish I am, the less joy I have. The more unselfish I am, the more joy. You see, but we live in a world today that doesn't teach you. I want you to think about all the advertisement on television, all the advertisement on the radio. What is the motive behind all of it? You deserve this. You want this. It's all about you. But in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4, it says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are unselfish and considerate in all you do." Do you see there how joy and being unselfish are linked together? You can't have one without the other. And then in chapter 2 and verse 4, Paul wrote, "Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand." I hope you have friends. You know, friends are one of the blessings of God. And I have a friend, and this particular friend is a kind of happy person. You know, I mean, they're just happy, bubbly. They're just that kind of a person. And recently, they came to me, and they were upset. And they said to me, said, "Preacher, I've got one word that I just want to say, and I want your feedback." I said, "Okay." And she named somebody that we knew. And then she said, "He's a jerk." And I said, "And it took you how long to figure that out?" Now, why would this person come and say this? And why would it even, a happy, bubbly, joyous person, why would they even say that? Well, let me tell you why it was said. This person that she mentioned is a selfish, self-centered, it's all about me kind of a person. And I want to ask you this morning, how do you want to be remembered? We're all going to die and leave this world. And when you leave this world, how do you want to be remembered? Do you want to be remembered as the jerk? Because it was all about you and what you wanted. Now contrast that to somebody who uses their gifts to bless others. In 1 Peter 4:10 it says, "God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other, passing on to others God's many kinds of blessings." See, God's given you certain gifts, certain talents, certain ability, and God wants you to use those to bless other people. And when you do that, God turns around and fills you with joy. I don't know anybody that God's used more than Billy Graham. And in his book, Just As I Am, he tells the story about being invited to a resort home in the Caribbean at a very luxurious place by one of the richest people in the world. I don't know about you, but I've never had one of those invitations. I think I could get used to it. But anyhow, he said, "I'm here at one of the richest people in the world. I'm at this place that they own on this Caribbean island, and I'm having dinner with them. And this multi-billionaire looks at Billy Graham at the end of the meal, and he says to him, he says, 'Dr. Graham, I am the most miserable man in the world.'" He said, "Look out there, and you see my 200-foot yacht. He said, if you go down to the airport, you can see my private jet. He said, if you look out in the back, you'll see my helipad with my own personal helicopter. He said, I have all the money to have anything I want. I can go anywhere I want to go, and I'm the most miserable man in the world." You see, stuff, popularity, possessions, positions, they do not bring joy. He went on to say the very next day on the same island, he said, "I met a pastor of a small church." And he said, "This fella had two sisters that he was taking care of. They were both homebound. They were both invalid. And he had to wait on them hand and foot. And he said he's out there serving in a very, very poor community in a little small church. And he said he's talking to him. And he says, Dr. Graham, he said, I don't have $20 to my name, but I want you to know I'm the happiest man on this island. You got one of the richest people in the world, and he's the most miserable man. You have another one. He said, I'm the happiest guy out here. What was the difference? One served others, and the other one expected the world to serve him. You want to have joy? Then roll up your sleeves, serve God, and serve others. And then the second benefit is, if you serve, it will improve all of your relationships. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, your attitude must be like my own. For I, the Messiah, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. You know what is the root of every relationship problem there is? It's called self-centeredness. And so when I serve others, it takes the focus off me, puts it on them. And when I become a servant and when I have a servant's heart, let me tell you what happens. It improves all my relationships. That is, you become a servant and you will be a better mother. Become a servant, you'll be a better wife. Become a servant, you'll be a better friend. It'll improve all of your relationships. Why? The root problem of all relationships is self-centeredness. And when you serve, you take the focus off you and you put it on others. It'll improve every one of your relationships. And by the way, I meant to put this in your outline. I didn't. It's a little short verse. Write down this reference. Proverbs 13:10. You might want to memorize this verse. It's only four words. Pride only breeds conflict. Pride only breeds conflict. Now think about that. If I'm going to serve others, I'm going to humble myself. That's the opposite of pride. What does pride do? Pride breeds conflict. What does service and ministry do? It breeds love and grace. Two blessings when you do this. Number one, you'll be respected by others. In Romans 14:18, it says, if you serve Christ in this way, you will please God and be respected by people. You see, the world says that if you serve others, people will run over you. You got to stand up for yourself. But God's word says if you serve others, that it will please God and other people will respect you. I want you to think about that for a moment. Would you like to be loved? Become a servant. Would you like to be liked? Become a servant. If you'd like to be respected, become a servant. If you'd like to have more friends, become a servant. And then secondly, you will receive a greater blessing. In Proverbs 11:25, those who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. I talk to folks all the time about serving God. And let me tell you the number one thing that I hear is, well, you know, I'd like to, I'm just too busy. Friend, you want me to tell you what? When people tell me that, I feel sorry for people like that. Because really what they're saying is I'm too busy to serve God. And if you're too busy to serve God, then you're too busy to be blessed of God. Because God blesses those who serve. And when you say, I'm not going to serve, what you're saying is I want to forfeit the blessings of God on my life. You see, here's how it works. God blesses you, you bless others, and when you bless others, God blesses you even more. Folks, you can't outgive God, and it doesn't matter if we're talking about your time, your service, whatever it is. Proverbs 11:17 says, when you're kind to others, you help yourself. When you're cruel to others, you hurt yourself. And then Proverbs 22 and verse 9 says, a generous man will himself be blessed. You know, over the years, I've just been blessed to be around certain kind of Christian people. And I'm just give you an example, Sue Freeman. When Sue was living, you know, she was homebound. She couldn't come. And we'd go down there and we'd visit with her. And you think, I'm going to go down there and see if I can't cheer her up and bless her. And every time I left, you know what? I felt like I had cheated. Because I came away more blessed than the blessing I took. If you ever went to just visit with Ursula and Sue Robinson, I'm telling you, you were standing on holy ground. I mean, you go down there and say, well, I'm going to be a blessing, but you come away by receiving a blessing. And this is what I'm saying. It will improve your relationships. Let God bless you. You bless others. And then God will double bless you because you've been a blessing. Think about it. God blesses you. You use it all on yourself. God's not going to bless you more. But God blesses you. You use that blessing to bless others. And what does God do? He double blesses you. And so there are four benefits. Number one, it'll bring you more joy. Number two, it'll improve your relationship. Number three, it will make life meaningful if you serve. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 35, if you insist on saving your life, you'll lose it. Only those who throw away their lives for my sake and for the sake of the good news will ever know what it means to really live. You want your life to have significance? I don't know about you, but I just don't want to go through life meeting, eating, burping, and dying. There's got to be more to life than that. I want my life to count for something. I want my life to be significant. I want this world to be a better place when I leave it than it was when I came. You want your life to count for something? Or is it just going to go to work, accumulate stuff, and die? I mean, is that all there is? Well, if you want your life to have meaning, you have to serve God and you have to serve other people. I want you to think about it. What are you going to do with your life that's going to outlive you? You want to have significance? Invest your life in something that's going to outlive you. Can I tell you, there are only two things that you can do? And that's the Word of God and serve people. Think about it. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. So you build your life on the word of God if you want it to last forever. And then whatever you do, Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, you'll not lose your reward. So you want your life to have meaning, to count for something, serve God and serve other people. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Because you know that your work in the Lord is never wasted. Let me give you a perfect example of this. You ever heard of a little 4'9" woman called Mother Teresa? Mother Teresa came from Albania. Most of you don't even know where Albania is. She dedicated her whole life to helping the poor. Now, she just didn't help the poor, but she dedicated her life helping the dying outcasts, the undesirables in Calcutta, India. The least influential people in all of the earth. She spent her whole life taking care of people that nobody else cared about. But notice how God blessed her being a blessing. Mother Teresa would go to the United Nations and every leader in the world would sit up and listen to what she had to say. She'd go before the United States Congress and speak and they'd sit up and listen. Why? Because her life had meaning. Even though she said, I'm going to serve the most despised people on the earth. The most outcast people on the earth. The people that nobody wants to have anything with. God honored that and God blessed that so that she became one of the most influential people in her lifetime. You want to have meaning in life? Serve others. But then the last thing that I want to share, last benefit, is if you serve others, it will leave a legacy. Proverbs 10:7 says, good people will be remembered as a blessing, but evil people will soon be forgotten. How do you want to be remembered? Let me give you an example of this from the music industry. How many of you have ever heard of a fellow by the name of Elvis Presley? Some of you have, I see. Okay. We had him here at church one time. Well, he's an Elvis impersonator, okay? But Elvis Presley is considered to be the king of rock and roll. Did you know he sold over 250 million records? But with all of his number one hits, with all of his fame and his popularity, Elvis Presley only had one Grammy Award. And did you know it wasn't a rock and roll album? It was a gospel album. And the name of that album was, "As He Touched Me." And the only thing that he was recognized for in music was not rock and roll. It's what he did for God. Listen, you want to leave a legacy behind? You want to be remembered well? Then you will be remembered well if you serve God, if you honor God. Everything else is going to pass away. They say the average person is only remembered for three generations. Let's put that to a test. Do you know your daddy's grandfather? Do you know your mother's grandmother? Most people are forgotten within three generations. I'm going to call out a couple of names. I want to see if you recognize any of these names. I had to write them down because I can't even remember them without writing them down. William Henry Harrison. Zachary Taylor. Chester Arthur. Franklin Pierce. Now, did anybody recognize those as all former presidents of the United States? Not many. Not many. In other words, these at one time were the most powerful men in all the world. And yet, in just a couple of generations, nobody remembers them. But you see, what you do for God is going to last forever. What you're going to do for God is going to be remembered forever. You want to have a legacy? Roll up your sleeves and serve God. Roll up your sleeve and serve others. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 26, it says, "But don't act like them. If you want to be great, you must be the servant of all others." You see, our culture has it backwards. Our culture says, be successful. Our culture says, climb to the top of the ladder. Our culture says, you want to be great, then you have everybody to wait on you and serve you. And Jesus said, no, that's not the way you do it. Jesus said, if you want to be great, serve others. As a matter of fact, he said, he didn't come to be served, he came to serve. Who is the greatest life that has ever lived? Who has impacted human history more than anybody that has ever lived? And that is Jesus Christ. You see, he just didn't say it, he lived it, and he became the greatest person by losing his life, by giving it away, serving others. You have some free time, do this. Go on Amazon and search leadership. You can find thousands of books on leadership. And then go over there and then type in service. For every book on service, there's 500 books on leadership. You see, everybody wants to be great. Everybody wants to be successful, but they got it all backwards. You see, how you're great, how you're successful is by serving others and by serving God. You want your life to count for something? You want to have joy? You want to improve all of your relationships? Do you want to leave a legacy after you're dead and gone? People will remember you in a good way. Let me tell you how you do that. You just humble yourself and serve God and serve other people. Inside your bulletin, you're going to see a couple of extra resources that are typically not there. One has all of our ministry team captains. The other one has a little brochure that describes the different ministries we have in the church. This morning, here's what I want to say. You don't have to wait to the ministry fair to start serving God. You don't have to wait to a certain time. You can do it right now. And I want to challenge you to roll up your sleeves and say, God, I want my life to count. I want my life to have significance. God, I'm going to honor you and I'm going to serve others. I'm going to be in ministry. I'm going to meet needs in the name of Jesus. You would bow your head and close your eyes. Nobody's looking around. I want to ask you a question. How will you be remembered? I don't know about you, but I want to be remembered as somebody that loved God, loved other people, by serving others, by serving God. I want to challenge you to come today and say, God, I want to give my life away. I want my life to count. God, here am I. Use me in whatever way. I want to ask you to look at all of those different ministries. Say, God, where can I get plugged in? Where can I help? A while ago when we recognized Cindy Jenkins, we talked about all the different ministries she's involved in. And then we said, and whatever needs to be done. Will you be a whatever kind of person? Roll up your sleeve, make a difference now and for eternity. Heavenly Father, Lord, may we hear your calling today. A calling, God, to bless. To be blessed, to bless others, and to keep the cycle of blessings going. Help, God, each one of us to not only receive your blessing, but to be a blessing. Lead us now, God, as we make our decisions to be servants, to be involved in ministry. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.